Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only John Carter Cash, the only son of Johnny Cash and June Carter. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure.
Jason, it's great to talk to you. I'm really glad to be on the line with you. Excited about a lot of things coming up.
All right, well, we can get into some of those other things, but first let's dive into... Yeah. You have an awesome book here. It's called Forever Words, The Unknown Poems that Your Father Wrote. What inspired you to put this together? Were the poems sort of, laying around the house? Or, how did you stumble upon the poems, and then how did you decide to say, hey, let's make it a book?
Well, my father was a prolific writer, and he had various notebooks and, scribbling and writing some pieces of paper that were tucked away and whatnot. That when he passed away, we went through his office and there were all these different writings. And of course, there were perhaps over 200 of these various writings. But in going through them, I realized that there was some beautiful words here. That there was a story told within these words in a way that had never been stated before. And it struck me as something beautiful. It struck me as unique, and it was exciting to see this. And I believe that it was something that Dad wanted, that he would have liked to have seen released if it was put together in the right way. And it was profound. It showed all aspects of his character, who he was, in different ways that I felt like was a unique way to say it.
Yeah, you said sort of, as you're going through these and compiling it, it sort of told a story about the man and the artist. If our listeners grab a copy of this, let's say it's a holiday gift or whatever, that's probably a great little stocking stuffer there. But if they get that and they're reading through these poems, what sort of story that you mentioned do you think comes out about your father that maybe we don't know?
Well, for one thing, he was a man of light and laughter, and I think that's not as well recognized sometimes, and that's definitely in here. There's views into, the very nature of his darkness and shortcomings also that are within these pages. And there's a lot of insight into the light of the great endurance of his character that, at the end of his life, in the face of adversary, loss and seemingly unsurmountable pain, and the physical frailties he had that, of course, would overwhelm him, that he still continued, that his, with even close upon preternatural endurance, he faced these darknesses, and his light and strength shone after him. Oh, yeah. So anyway, it's a beautiful thing. It truly is.
Totally. It must just bring up so many emotions going through it. And the thing I love about it is you like sort of superimpose these the actual handwritten images that of mm-hmm. your dad, has scribbled on the pages. Take me into sort of the idea behind that. It's just instead of, printed text to actually see his actual pen strokes.
Yeah, in the world we live today, it's like everybody types. My father hand wrote things, and so many, great writers did, and I believe that probably is something lost now.
Yeah.
I believe there's much to be seen within the handwritten document, the person's character, who they were. And my father's handwriting through the years changed, and so when you look at his handwriting, you can see the changes that occur, maybe at the times of travail that he was going through, or when the writing is more structured and tighter together, and then in the last writings, his eyesight was nearly gone. So it's evident when you look at those. So I believe there's much to be seen, within the handwriting itself.
It's like his soul's just all in the margins. It's fantastic looking at that. Do you have a favorite poem in there? You've probably seen them all a million times, but which ones do you sort of gravitate to?
There's so many that stand out to me. I love "Don't Make a Movie About Me," which is sort of tongue in cheek.
How ironic!
It's really cool. I heard it on the news, which is quite a profound insight. I said I heard on the news that there was a lull in the fighting in Vietnam. It talks about how that they shut down the war on both sides to go to plant the rice crops. And then in the end he says, what kind of animal is man that he would pause in his killing to go about the business of preparing for the living, knowing that he will ultimately return to the business of killing?
Man.
It's so profound. But I have to say that probably my favorite is the one that's on the back of the book. You tell me that I must perish, like the flowers that I cherish, nothing remaining of my name, nothing remembered of my fame. But the trees that I planted still are young. The songs I sing will still be sung. And that was written just days before he passed away. And in the face of the fact that he'd lost my mother and he was moving on out of this world, and he knew it was coming very soon, that he still could see the light of hope and the endurance of the goodness of his legacy.
Oh my, yeah, man, that just gave me chills right there. Right just before his passing, he says that the trees are planted and his songs will still be sung. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you know, obviously because you had a bunch of half siblings with Roseanne and the rest, but you were their only child by those two. And you know, what was it like sort of growing up with them? I mean, we know Johnny Cash the stage presence, but how was he, you know, on the home front as a father, and how was she as a mom?
Well, you know, he was always like my best friend growing up. He truly was. Mm-hmm. You know, and we spent a lot of time fishing, doing outdoors activities and whatnot. And I got to travel on the road with them a great deal. You know, I went from city to city with them. I'd been to 26 countries by the time I was 4 years old, and just had a chance to really see the world, you know, and to meet a lot of people and make great friends that I wouldn't have had the opportunity to otherwise.
You were a globe-trotting toddler.
yeah, I was. They brought me with them everywhere.
He never brought you to Folsom Prison, though, did he?
Well, he showed it to me from the outside, but they wouldn't bring the toddler in Folsom.
Wow, what did he say from the outside? Like, what do you remember that moment?
Not really. Not from when I was young. I remember driving past it in the bus, and them talking about it. But I actually had a chance to go into San Quentin the other day and do a tour of the prison itself, and that was amazing.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, but not with my dad.
Gotcha. Is it true that that after your birth he would tinker the lyrics to Boy Named Sue and he would perform it?
Well, at the end of the song, of course, the original lyric, and if I ever had a boy,
Bill or George,
Bill or Frank or George or whatever. But he would say, if I ever had a boy, and he'd say, well, actually, I did have a boy, and here he is, John Carter Cash. And he'd bring me up on stage, and I would take a bow from the moment that I could walk until I was probably seven. And so, he would bring me up and say, thank God he didn't name me Sue.
You were the boy named Sue. That's fantastic.
No, I was the boy that was not named Sue. Yeah.
Well, you could have been Bill or George or anything but Sue, but you got John. That's cool. It's a perfect name.
Yeah.
Didn't you? And I think he and your mom recorded a song about you, right? I got a boy. His name's John.
Yeah. Back in the 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
And one of those in the children's album that he did.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that you also, you know, your country and folk and otherwise, like artist in your own right. You became a music producer for your mom's Grammy-winning album, Press On, and you've produced a bunch of other people, Loretta Lynn and Brooks and Dunn, George, the list goes on and on, George Jones. What was it like sort of collaborating in that sense with your mom?
Oh, you know, it was due time that she had the opportunity to go in and make her own music. I mean, it was a beautiful thing that she was able to do this. And, you know, and my father was right there with her in the studio when she did Press On and Wildfire, which both went on to win Grammys. So it was, and he was supportive of her, you know, and she was an accomplished artist, most definitely, you know, unto her own right. And deserves the recognition and the respect.
And you wrote her her biography, Anchored in Love, which became a Lifetime movie, Ring of Fire. How did that Ring of Fire and the other one, obviously Walk the Line, we all know, won an Oscar for Reese Witherspoon. But what which of those two was sort of closer to the real experience that you remember?
Well, as having actually been there. You can't have a 32-hour movie, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and you'd have to have a 32-hour movie to really tell the whole story. I mean, there's so much to it, you know. Yeah. Walk the Line unto itself. It painted an accurate and beautiful picture of my parents' love affair, and that's about all the 2 hours could afford to do. There was a good bit that was not touched on, the depths of my father's spiritual character, he and my mother's intellectual connections. I mean, there was so much that couldn't be done within 2 hours, but it did tell a beautiful love story, and it told it accurately. Also, the Ring of Fire film, I feel that Jewel did wonderful in her presentation as June Carter Cash, and so I greatly adore Jewel, and I think she did a great job.
Yeah, it's almost like when you set out to make those movies, you have to just pick a small slice and try to capture the essence of the larger picture, but only through a small window, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it was done well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have this whole book of awesome poems here that your dad scrawled on sheets of paper and probably napkins and whatever else around the house. But his songs themselves were pure poetry too. Whether it was stuff he wrote, or like even other people, like, you know, I think Sunday Morning Coming Down was a Christopherson thing he wrote, right? But man, the lyrics in that, like, you know, the smell in the fried chicken and playing with the can, he was kicked, like, oh my God, that song just like it gives you goosebumps. But talk sort of.
If you think about also his song "Big River," it most definitely it's something that he penned himself. And Bob Dylan himself cites my father as one of America's greatest poets, and then mentions "Big River." Taught the weeping willow how to cry, showed the clouds how to cover up a clear blue sky. You know, tears are cried for that woman are going to flood you, Big River, and I'm going to sit right here until I die. That's pretty strong lyrics, you know, and it's poetry. And my dad had a way of saying things simply, but just as beautifully and just as accurately as any great poet, you know, cut from the very roots of the American soil.
Yeah, he's like a Dylan. I mean, those people, and I know Dylan just got, I think, like a Nobel Peace Prize, and everyone, there was a whole hubbub of whether a songwriter should get it, but it's true, like, these great songwriters like Dylan and your father and, you know, a few others, they rise to the level of poets. It's great. Take me sort of into those final, because I know we're against the clock, take me into sort of those final, days with your father, and, How he still pulled an amazing song like that, the cover of Hurt. I mean, he takes a Nine Inch Nails song and makes that. Even watching that video of Hurt will bring you to tears, and that strum of that guitar just cuts to your soul. But talk to me about Hurt and sort of the end of your dad's life.
Well, you know, my father's endurance through the last days of his life, when his body was giving up, was due to a few different things. His faith in God, his faith that the beauty would endure. And you can listen to the American Recordings records that Hurt and all the way through American Six, and you can hear a steady decline in his physical strength. But I believe if you listen more carefully, you can hear a rise in strength within his very spirit, within the nature of who he was. And somewhat accumulation of that endurance even was after my mother passed away. On the way home from the cemetery, my dad turned to me and said, I have to get in the studio. 4 days later, we were recording. And it's within these words that he wrote, the poem Forever, that's at the end of the book on the back page, you know, the trees I planted still are young, the songs I sang will still be sung. I mean, those words endure. And that's a life statement that he made, you know, to continue in the face of adversary, in the face of pain, that, you know, he did not only endure, he flourished. And what a beautiful thing.
Awesome. Well, that's the perfect place to leave it. John Carter Cash, thanks so much for joining us. Again, the book is Johnny Cash, Forever Words, The Unknown Poems. Thanks
so much. Good talking to you.